Welcome to Catholic Moms in the Middle, a podcast for midlife moms who want to live their lives in a way that creates a legacy of faith, hope, and love. In this show, I will equip and encourage you to become the person you were created to be by discovering your identity as a beloved daughter of God. This discovery allows you to live your unique God-given purpose to bring hope, joy, and healing to those around you. My goal is to help you encounter the love of the Father, to find healing and transformation through the Holy Spirit, so that you can courageously magnify Christ in your marriage, with your children, in your communities, and with everyone you encounter in your daily life. Hey friends, I'm Jenny Glennon, and this is Catholic Moms in the Middle. So today, I have Patty Deffendahl with me. Patty is the mastermind. She's the founder of the Nashville Marian Conference here in Nashville. I wanted Patty to share her journey and how God placed this conference on her heart, a conference that has touched hundreds of women over the years. So, Patty, welcome to Catholic Moms in the Middle.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. It's great to be here with you.
Absolutely. So let's jump right in. How did this conference come about? Or maybe a better question is, tell me about your relationship with the Blessed Mother that led to this conference.
Okay. Well, I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and went to Catholic schools my whole life. To this day, I don't have any plaid because I wore it for 12 years. I was
ready for you. Yes.
And I have five sisters and I have two brothers. So it was often chaotic, but often fun to be growing up in our household. We had a very strong Catholic influence of our parents. And my mother had statues and pictures of Our Lady of Fatima all over the house. So that was going on in the background of our lives as we were growing up and going to Catholic schools. Mary kept knocking on my door, wanting to be a deeper part of my life. And my rosaries were here, but they weren't always being, my rosary beads were all over the place, but not necessarily in my daily prayers. A few years ago, one of my sisters invited me to the St. Louis Marian Conference. And I thought, oh, this will be great. This will be a lot of fun. I'll go up and we'll spend time together and pray and enjoy one another. Well, something happened to me up there. And we know how that works, right? Sometimes the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, just grabs your heart and you know that something has changed. It was such a beautiful experience of all of these people who loved Mary so deeply. And I was very moved by it. And I came back home and I kept feeling that prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I kept saying, no, 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 you have the wrong lady. I'm too busy. You got to get someone who's more competent than myself. But as things go, the Holy Spirit would not say no. So I started talking to people at our parish. And I said, have you ever heard of a Marian conference? What would you think if we did one here? Well, as it would have it, everyone I spoke to said, oh yeah, let's do that. I'll help. So I took that as affirmation that that was something that God did want us to do. So in 2022, as COVID was winding down and people were starting to want to do things like conferences again, we had the first annual Nashville Mary Conference at Our Lady of the Lake. And it was such a beautiful experience. And people really, really spoke about how meaningful it was to them and how much they got out of it. And so I was very, edified, rejoicing, so happy that something that the Holy Spirit had placed on my heart to do, Mother Mary sent all of the people to help make it happen. Priests, vendors, greeters, all kinds of volunteers. So last year, it grew just a little bit. Enough. God is so gentle with me, Jenny. He just lets things grow just a little bit so I don't get overwhelmed. Right. And it grew a little bit last year. We had, more speakers, more vendors, more priests, more guests. And again, people were so moved by the great experience that it was. So again, this will be the third annual Nashville Married Conference that we'll be hosting at Our Lady of the Lake. And it's really just an opportunity for especially you moms to spend time growing closer to Mary, because Mary is our model of motherhood. Can you even imagine being a 14-year-old girl and this angel appearing to you out of nowhere and telling you that God had chosen you to be an unwed mother, basically, and that the penalty for that is death?
Right.
So she was willing to risk it all for what she heard God calling her to do. And then again, when she and Joseph take that baby to the temple, and Simeon and his wife are there, and Simeon tells her, "This man is destined for the rise and fall of many, and a sword will also pierce your heart." And I know as mothers that your audience understands our hearts as mothers being pierced, right?
Yes.
Being a mother is a tough job. It is not for the faint of heart. And there are times when our hearts literally break for our children. And that doesn't change as they even become young adults. So that's part of the yes that we say as mothers. We share that yes. And Mary's yes was so exponential and so large for her to say yes to something so big. And then, you know, at the very worst moment of our Lord's life, right? He's on that cross. He's beaten so that he's not recognizable. He's got nails. He's got that crown of thorns. All his friends have abandoned him. At the worst moment of his life, what is he thinking about? Who is he thinking about? Us.
Right.
Because there's his mother and there's St. John, and he's thinking about us, and he's giving the most precious thing, his mother, to John. So I think that we have to keep in mind that her whole orientation as a mother was him. Something I learned in graduate school, which I think is fascinating to think more about, is that the Holy Spirit is Mary's spouse, right?
Right.
He overshadowed her, right? And placed within her womb Jesus.
Yes.
Well, the Holy Spirit is her spouse, but the Holy Spirit has no physical matter. It's pure spirit. And so all of the physical matter that make up the human part of Jesus came from Mary. Her blood, right? Her blood.
Right. Yes.
Right? Her skin is his skin. Everything that could be contributed to a human person came from her to him.
Right.
And she has so much to show us and to teach us. And then the other story, in the finding him in the temple, right? What mother among us would not have been out of our minds at that point and wanted to scold him? And yet, you know, she asked him, "Why did you do this to your father and I?" And once he told her that he had to be in his father's house, what was her immediate response? She held all of these things, not understanding them, in her heart. What a model for motherhood. We're not going to understand all of the things that our children do. And yet, there are times when we just need to hold in our heart that trust in God, that he has our children, and that God loves our children even more than we do.
Absolutely. During Lent, one of my favorite stations of the cross, and I've talked about this in other shows, are the stations through the eyes of Mary, where she's journeying alongside Jesus. She talks about her perspective and what she sees, and then Jesus also shares. And you know, it says in there, after each station, "And she followed along silently." She was so silent, and she was pondering these things, and she was grieving and hurting, and horrific things were happening to the person she loved most in the world, yet she trusted in God. Her love for God was so great that she sacrificed her son. I think about that, and I can't imagine not screaming, "Stop," or but she just was so calm and peaceful. And it was a peace that only can come from God. And so I think that's so important as mothers, is sometimes, well, I have to speak for myself. Sometimes I could be considered a helicopter mom, especially when my kids were younger, trying to control and fix and making sure everything worked out okay. For me, Mary is such a good role model of prayer, looking within and praying and surrendering to God. As you were raising your children, how did Mary help in your journey?
Yes. Well, now, of course, that they're grown, I wish I'd spent even more time with her.
Right. Yes.
But I think the main thing that I learned from Mary as a mother was just sometimes to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
To be quiet and be a good listener. And what you were talking about, our fear is what leads us to want to control.
Right.
And to surrender the fear. Because fear is not a good way to parent, right? If we're parenting from fear, what are we doing? We're teaching our children to be fearful. So parent from a place of trust in God and trust in your children's goodness and in their desire to please you. Because at this point, you're the authority in their lives. You're living in that place that God will have for them in their lives as adults. And so really to really trust that they're going to be fine,
right,
and not try to control.
Yes. The other thing that we hear about is for the first 30 years of Jesus's life, after the finding in the temple, it was hidden. Right. There's not anything in scripture. We don't know a lot about that time. And so I often think Mary was going through the ordinary daily routines of life. She was preparing meals. She was doing laundry. She was caring for Jesus. Like all of those things that we do as mothers, and you and I both, now that our children are grown, we're in a different season from that time when the laundry piled up and the bathrooms needed cleaning. Sometimes as moms, it's easy to get overwhelmed. And so I often think about Mary went through that hidden time, that time that she was in her home and she was caring for others, and those jobs that seem like mundane and not very exciting. Mary did all of that because it was a way of preparing and equipping Jesus. She was preparing him, help preparing him for what was to come.
Yes. Oh, definitely. You know, and she was teaching him, right? All of the things that she knew. Obviously, she knew and loved scriptures. She was teaching him all of the scripture that she loved and knew so well.
What did you learn at that first Marian conference? How was your heart changed? What made you think, I have to go back and share this with others? Because I speak from experience. It's not easy to put on a conference or a retreat. There's lots of moving pieces, and it's a lot to take on. So what was it that made you feel like, I have to tell people about this? I have to share Mary with them.
The conference in St. Louis was the 21st annual one. And so obviously they knew what they were doing.
Right.
And the beauty of it was compelling. The beauty of people's relationships with her and how the speakers spoke about her. So many of the speakers were so well-versed in all of the Marian apparitions, all the places that Mary has appeared throughout the world for centuries, you know, the Battle of Lepanto, you know, obviously Juan Diego in Mexico, millions and millions of converts from one apparition to one young man. So she has entered into history in so many powerful times, especially in times of war. And our age is in desperate need of her. And that's what became so obvious to me at the St. Louis Conference, is our age, the time that we are in right now, needs her intercession, and we need to draw her into our hearts, right? Because her only goal is to lead us to her Son. One of my favorite images of Mary is the moon, because the moon has no light of its own, as you know. The moon merely reflects the light of the sun. We wouldn't even see the moon if the sun's light was not reflected in it. And so her desire is for us to be drawn closer to her Son, but we can be drawn closer to her Son through her Immaculate Heart.
Right.
And when you study and learn all of the times that she has changed an outcome in world history, it's incredible.
Right.
And I don't know about you or your listeners, but there have been times in my life where I needed a different outcome. I need something. I needed something to change that I had no power to change.
Yes.
And she has that power. She sits at her Son's hand in heaven. She presents all of our prayers to her, to him, and makes them even more beautiful, and because they come from her.
Right. I had a priest tell me one time that when you ask Mary to intercede for you and you're placing your prayers in her hands, it's like she will take them on a silver platter and hand them to her Son. And I think about that image quite often. I'm giving her these prayers because everything the Blessed Mother does points directly to her Son. It's not about her glory. It's not about her honor. You know, I think that's one of the things that so many people misunderstand, is it's not about her. When you get close to the Blessed Mother, everything is about her Son. Everything points to God and the Holy Spirit, and she reflects them and not herself. One of my favorite images and devotions is the Mary Undoer of Knots. In the image of her, she just very quietly and gently untying knots, and she's handing them off to the angel beside her. And I just love that image, because I think you and I could both agree that we all have knots in our lives. And sometimes us trying to untie the knots makes the knots, when your kids were little, their shoes would get tangled and you're like, don't touch them. Let me untie it, because they would make it worse. And I often think that's what I do with the knots in my life, trying to control situations or manipulate others to do what I think they should do. And so it's so freeing to say, you untie these knots. I'm sorry, I have them all knotted up, but I believe that with your Son, you can untie them into this beautiful ribbon of my life.
Beautiful. And I love Father Maximilian Kolbe. He said that we never have to worry about loving Mary too much, because we could never love her more than her Son Jesus did.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. I've heard that before. I love that. Yes.
I love that too.
Yes. So how do you draw closer to Mary? For somebody who's listening, you know, they may think that the rosary is the only way to grow closer to Mary. And sometimes the rosary, it can be overwhelming. It can take a little bit longer, and you really have to focus and connect with the mysteries and the meditation. So how would you recommend that others draw closer to the Blessed Mother?
Right. Well, I think anything we do can help us. And there are wonderful apps that you can just put on and listen to someone praying the rosary, that you can listen along as you're doing the dishes, as you're doing the laundry, right? Because all of our work that we do as women is a prayer. Everything we do is a prayer. Every dish you wash for your children, every peanut butter and jelly sandwich you make, every little article of clothing that you fold when it comes out of the dryer, every one of those actions is an action of love, and that's a prayer. And just as you said, to think about those hidden years, and those were the things that Mary was doing. But I love that untier of knots. And I think when we feel that anxiety as a mother, or something happens that kind of triggers our fear, that the very best thing we can do in those moments is say, Mother Mary, I need your help.
Yeah. It's that simple, right?
It's that simple. She's there. She wants to help. She's waiting to help. She wants us to ask for that help. And like a good mother, right? Like any good mother, you know, maybe Mary's a little bit of a helicopter mother too, because she's definitely loving all of us from heaven. And just let her wrap us in her mantle of love and give us the strength that we sometimes need to be the kinds of mothers that we want to be and the kinds of grandmothers we want to be.
Absolutely. And I'd be in my faith journey, not only with the Blessed Mother, but and reaching out, you know, prayers. When those times when I throw my arms in the air and I'm like, I can't do it on my own. I need help. Those are the times that when I've been trying to force things and that self-reliance and, you know, taking it upon myself to control the situation, that when it's in that surrender that you're like, I can't do it by myself. And it's amazing when you allow yourself to do that, when you get to that point, there's this sense of freedom. And in that surrender, that's when I feel like I connect so closely to the Blessed Mother or to Jesus, or feel the Holy Spirit working in my life.
Yeah, because that's what she did, right? She said, whatever, I'm your handmaiden. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to thy word. So she was willing to say, you know, I have no other agenda but you, and I trust you, and I'm going to walk with you, and you will show me what you want me to do.
Yes. And I recently heard a priest say at Mass that as soon as Mary received Jesus, as soon as she conceived Jesus, what did she do? She went on mission. She didn't keep Jesus to herself. We would have totally understood if she said, you know what, I'm just going to stay home and keep my feet propped up. I'm the mother of the Lord, right? But what did she do? She walked. She journeyed for miles and miles to share Jesus with her cousin Elizabeth. And so I think about that when I'm praying the rosary. Here's this woman that could have sat on a throne and been, she could have been pampered, but that wasn't her way. Her way was to immediately go out and care for someone else with her son.
And it's been my experience, and probably yours too, that as soon as someone has an encounter with Jesus Christ that is at that level of love, they immediately want to go out and serve. They immediately want to go and do things for Jesus.
Patty, as we wrap up, give us some of the details about the conference.
So the theme of the conference is receive, entrust, rejoice. That's what Mary did. The dates are April 26th and 27th. So it's a Friday, Saturday. And we have a great line of speakers. Sonia Corbett's coming back, so we're very excited about her. If you've heard of Mari Pablo, she hails from Miami. She's a really young, dynamic, exciting Catholic evangelist, so we're excited about her. Father Broussard from the Fathers of Mercy is coming down from Kentucky. And our wonderful Catholic singer-songwriter, Nashville musician, Sarah Kroger, is going to be with us, leading us in worship. We're going to have a relics room with several first-class relics, St. Augustine, St. Francis of Assisi, and several more. And we also have a marketplace with a tremendous number of vendors who have all sorts of beautiful Catholic things to share with everyone. A very powerful weekend for all of those who can come. Tickets are available at NashvilleMarianConference.com, NashvilleMarianConference.com. Just let Mary love you while you're with us.
Wow, thank you for sharing that. So, Patty, will you close us in prayer?
I'd love to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To you do we come, before you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right. Patty, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your journey. It sounds like the conference is going to be amazing.
Thank you for letting me come today.
All right, friends, until we meet again next week, go out and magnify Christ in your little corner of the world. God bless. To learn more about my ministry for midlife women, go to CatholicMomsInTheMiddle.com and be sure to check out Magnify, my online community for women, where you will grow deeper in your faith. You'll find inner healing in areas where you have struggled for years, and you'll be equipped and encouraged to become the person God has called you to be so that you can go out and magnify Christ in the world. The music for this podcast was written by Sean Williams, Catholic composer and musician. You'll find more of Sean's original music at musicbyseanwilliams.com. That is music by SHAWN Williams.com.